We're involved in a series of sermons about grace, G-R-A-C-E, grace. Last week I shared with you some personal experiences about coming to realize that I'm saved by God's grace. If you are saved by God's grace, not by your works. And one of the most difficult things I find for people to accept is I'm not saved by works, I'm saved by grace. And the Bible over and over and over talks about this, that we're saved by grace. And many of you have heard me say on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning that when I was in youth group, our preacher taught Bible in a fun sort of way. We had scripture hunts and sword drills and all that kind of stuff. And was taught that grace means unmerited favor. The only problem was I didn't know what that meant. So grace means unmerited favor. If you'd asked me the question, I would tell you that grace means unmerited favor. But I didn't have any clue what unmerited favor meant. That was just the definition. It was like my prayers that my mama taught me to say when I go to bed. Now lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. They weren't even words to me. I mean, just the phrase, the whole phrase was a word. Now lay me. Well, that's one word. Down to sleep, that was another. And so I didn't understand that. And so I think it's very, very important that we need to not only understand the definition, we not only have the definition, we need to understand the definition. So unmerited favor means undeserved benefits. God does it of His own free will. He decides to give me benefits, and I don't deserve them. I don't deserve any of them. It's all because of Him. He has no obligation to me, none. And I need to understand that I am saved by grace. And when you understand that, it changes your whole view of Christianity. It changes your whole perspective of living a godly life and doing the right things and all that, and because you're not earning it. You see, when you think you're earning it, then sometimes you say, well, I'm doing okay. And sometimes you say, I'm not doing good at all. And so in your mind, you're like going from, I'm saved, well, I'm not sure I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm not sure I'm saved. God's grace is unmerited. It's undeserved. I do not earn it. I should not have it. It's all because of what He did for me. Let's define the word grace and try to understand it a little better. It is God's free and unmerited favor toward people. It includes undeserved benefits for us. It is a voluntary act of His goodwill. He gives it to us, not because of who we are, but because of who He is. And grace is a very, very important concept for us to grasp. I need to know what grace is. I need to understand completely that it is because of God's grace that I am saved. It is not because of my goodness. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, Paul kind of gives us a Bible definition. I just gave you a dictionary-type definition. He gives us a Bible definition. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was, tell me, rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might become rich. Okay? He was rich. He was God. He had everything. He had everything. And He became poor. He lowered Himself to become a man. And He did that for me and for you. He didn't have to do that. He did that because He wanted to do that. Though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor. He gave it up all. He gave it up all. So that you, through His poverty, might become rich. He's not talking about money. He's talking about spiritual things. But most of us, because we have to deal with money all the time, most of us know we can understand money. We have to deal with that. We have to constantly be around that. And there's no way to get away from that. We always deal with it. And so we understand what it means to be rich. And we understand what it means to be poor. So we need to grasp the fact that Jesus, though he was rich, he voluntarily, on his own, decided to become poor so that we could become rich. He was willing to give up a lot so that we could gain a lot. And we need to grasp that idea. We need to understand that it's all because of him. It's all because of his willingness, his grace. He didn't have to do it. He didn't do it because we deserved it. We didn't earn it. He did it because he loved us. He cared about us. And his grace, didn't put it on the slide, but let me give you a definition. I'll put it on the slide later. I think I'm going to preach on grace again next week. But God's riches at Christ's expense. Help me if I get this one. That's an acrostic. Is that right term for that? God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. He paid it. I couldn't pay it. He paid it. I've got God's riches because of what he did for me. But you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. That's a deal, brother. Isn't it? That's a deal. I mean, that you can't beat that. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And I put the terms to describe the pronoun so you'd understand it. He, meaning God, made him, meaning Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God made Jesus, who knew no sin. Jesus never sinned. Not ever. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet he never sinned. God made him to be sin so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. Most of us have heard all of our life, and most of us who've been raised in the church have heard all of our life, that Jesus took our sins upon him when he died on the cross. Do like this if you've heard that somewhere. So I know I don't need to stop and explain. He took our sins upon himself. When he died on the cross, my sins were punished on him. God made him pay. He paid for my sins. But at the same time that God put my sins on Jesus, God put Jesus' righteousness on me. So when I stand before God to determine whether I'm going to heaven or hell or not, he doesn't see my righteousness. What does he see? The righteousness of Jesus. He sees the righteousness of Jesus. And therefore he accepts me because I am in Christ. You know? The Bible teaches that there's a mutual indwelling. I need to be in Christ and Christ needs to be in me. And we talk about a lot. We talk about that Jesus took my sins upon him, but we very seldom talk about that I took his righteousness upon me. That God made him to be sin. He would not have to die. He would not have died because he never sinned. Death is a result of sin. He became sin and he died on the cross because of my sins and your sins. And then we become righteous in him. Now, we become righteous in him positionally because we are in Christ. God judges me. He looks at me. He sees the righteousness of Christ. God judges you if you're a Christian. and he sees the righteousness of Christ. That's the reason we can have a no-so salvation. Because it's Jesus. It's not me. It's Jesus. It's him that pays the price for me to get in. He bought the ticket. I couldn't pay for it. He paid for it. And he paid for it by the exchange of taking my sins upon himself and I taking his righteousness upon myself. Okay. Ephesians 2:8-9 that Mark read for our devotional time. For by grace you have been saved. Grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one may boast. On Wednesday night, we're studying Galatians, which is dealing with the same subject. And I told the people on Wednesday night that when I went into ministry, I set a goal for myself that I was going to know every religious belief there was. So if anybody came to me from any kind of religion, any kind, whether it was close to us, like the Baptists or the Non-Instrumental Church of Christ or whatever, or whether it was a long ways from us, like the Mormons or Islam or whatever, I was going to know all of them. And I would be able to talk to them. I would know their religion. I'd know my religion. I could compare them and supposedly, hopefully, win them over to God's way. Very early in my ministry, I gave up. There's too many of them. I mean, there is too many of them. Even if I just limit it to what the world calls Christianity, even if I just limit it to that, don't even consider the world religion, just consider what everybody else is called Christian. There's too many of them. And there are new ones starting all the time. And so I gave up. And while there are hundreds and hundreds of different religions, when you come right down to it, there's only two. There's only two. One is what I do, and the other one is what he did. One is what I do, and the other one is what he did. If my religion is what I do, I'm in trouble. Because what I do basically is sin. And my sin separates me from God. But if my religion is what he did, who's the he? Jesus. If my religion is what he did, then we make this exchange and we have his righteousness, he has our sin, and we are saved by grace. And all I have to do is put my faith in him. And this passage talks about the fact that it's not by my works. It's not as a result of my works. So I won't boast. Years ago, my brother, who is an elder in the church and probably a stronger Christian than I am, when I first came to realize you could know you were saved, he said, Lee, you're bragging. If you go around telling anybody you know you're saved, you're bragging. You're bragging. You're bragging about you know you're saved. You know you got it. And I had a hard time with that. I reacted against that, you know. And I finally just gave in and said, yep, I am. I'm bragging about Jesus. I'm bragging about Jesus. He's the one that saved me. Not me, but him. For by grace you have been saved. God's unmerited favor. God's undeserved benefits. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not as a result of works that no one may boast. If I earn it, it is no longer a gift. Right? If I earn it, it is no longer a gift. Philippians 3:9. And may be found in him, Jesus, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law. That means I don't have a righteousness that I kept the law by my works. That's not the righteousness that saved me. But that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. That's saying exactly the same thing I just talked about a minute ago. Jesus took our sins. As a Christian, I take his righteousness. And that's the righteousness that saved me. I may be found in Christ. I am in Christ, in Jesus. That's the most important thing. I am in Jesus. And being in Jesus, then I'm saved. I don't have a righteousness of my own derived from the law. I don't earn my salvation by keeping the law. Where do I get my righteousness? According to the text, where do I get my righteousness? It comes from God on the basis of faith. I have to respond and accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and then my righteousness, His righteousness, is given to me. And so positionally, I am perfect. Positionally, I am perfect. I am perfect because I am in Christ. Practically, I'm a long, long way from perfect. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. But I'm a long, long way from perfect. But positionally, I'm perfect. And that's because of God's grace. Titus 2:11 says, "For by grace, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men." Salvation is available to all men, everybody. And it's all by God's grace. It's all by God's grace. That doesn't mean that everybody's going to be saved, but it does mean that salvation is available to everybody. Anybody who wants to, whosoever will, is the way I was taught as a kid, because everybody used King James. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever, anybody, may accept. And it's all by what? Grace. It is by God's grace that I am saved. Now, the next verse he says, the grace instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Stay with me. Don't lose me. Go to sleep later. Not now. Okay. If I accept Jesus as my Savior, I am saved from the penalty of sin. I am saved from the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin is death. I am saved from the penalty of sin when I accept God's grace. But when I accept God's grace, I am also saved from the power of sin. Sin no longer has dominion over me. It no longer controls me. Sin is the exception, not the rule, in the life of the Christian. Sin is the exception, not the rule, in the life of the Christian. The habit of life for the Christian is righteousness. Grace instructed us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. So God's grace, why, if you go through the process and you realize I'm saved by grace and not by works, the first thing you jump to conclusion, then I can do whatever I want to. If you realize I'm saved by grace, not by works, then you say, I can do anything I want to. That's not true. The same grace that saves me changes me. The same grace that saves me changes me and causes me to want to work for God. I want to do what God wants me to do. I'm not sure theologically is a good way to explain it, but I want my life to be a thank you note to God. I want my life to be a thank you note. Not a book I wrote and earned something, but a thank you note to say thank you that you did it all. You gave it all to me. And it's all because of you that I'm going to be there. Verse 13, Titus 2:13. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. When you become a Christian, your attitude toward the second coming of Christ changes. If I'm not a Christian, the talk about Jesus coming back is scary. Isn't it? If I'm not a Christian, that's scary. He's going to come back, and He's going to pick the ones that are His, and He's going to take them with Him, and the others are going to be left. And doesn't make any difference what you think, what view of Bible prophecy you have. The fact is, the Bible says He's going to come, and those who are in Christ are going to be caught up to meet Him in the air. And when I'm not a Christian, that's a scary thing. I used to, when I preach on Bible prophecy, people saying you're trying to scare people out of hell. You know? Oh, they'd say you're trying to scare the hell out of them. But anyway, they were saying I was trying to scare people. But for a Christian, the second coming of Christ is a blessed hope. It's exciting that He's coming back. Not something I dread, It's something I look forward to. Something that I want to happen. For the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. Look at the text and the text alone and tell me, according to the text, not what you think or what your church teaches, but according to the text, who is God in this text? Jesus. Jesus. I remember when I first started preaching that. You know, when I first started preaching that Jesus is God, people go at the back door and say, oh no, he's not God, he's the Son of God. And I try to explain, he's God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's God. This text says he's God. We're looking for his coming back. We're looking for God to come back. And the God that's coming back is Jesus. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay? And if I am saved by his grace, then I can look forward to his return. It is a blessed hope. It is an exciting promise that he's coming back. Then it talks about Jesus, who gave himself for, in verse 14, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us. What does redeem mean? When I first started preaching, I could use the illustration, what do you do with your green stamps? That shows how old I am, right? Now most of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. What do you do with your green stamp? My mom used to save green stamps. Everything you bought, you got some green stamps with them, and at some point you could go redeem them. That means you took the green stamps and bought you something. You purchased something with the stamps. He himself redeemed us. He bought us. He bought us. He paid for us. And he redeemed us from every lawless deed. Because he not only saved us from the penalty of sin, but also from the power of sin. He saved us from the penalty of sin. He saves us from the power of sin. One day he's going to save us from the presence of sin. Okay? Every lawless deed to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Christians are not saved by works. But Christians ought to work enthusiastically. Right? Christians ought to be the most exciting people there are, doing works for God. Because I know my salvation doesn't depend on it anymore. It's not a dreadful thing. And thinking, boy, if I make one mistake, I'm going to get messed up here. It's a happy thing that I can do it for him because he's done so much for me. Jesus gave himself for us. That he might redeem us, he might buy us back from every lawless deed and to purify for himself, to purify us for himself, a people for his own possessions. Who do I belong to? Jesus. I belong to Jesus. He's my owner. He's my boss. He's my master. Zealous for good deeds. Okay? We're saved not by our works, but by God's grace. His grace is unmerited. His grace is undeserved. His grace is unearned. And it's all because of Jesus. I have all kinds of undeserved benefits in Jesus. If you are saved, you're saved by his grace. But you have to accept that grace. You have to accept that grace. He saves you, first of all, from the, what, start with a P, what was the first one? He saves you from the penalty of sin. And then he saves you from the power of sin. He saves you from the penalty of sin. Then he saves you from the power of sin. So you run across a Christian, and it claims to be a Christian, said, yeah, I became a Christian in 1958. I was sitting on the third pew. And they were singing just as I am. And I came forward and accepted Christ. So you read the Bible? No, I don't read my Bible. Do you pray? No, I don't pray. Do you witness to other people? No, I don't witness to other people. Do you go to church? No, I don't go to church. But I'm a Christian. No. If he saves you from the penalty of sin, he saves you from the power of sin. And when he saves you from the power of sin, you're excited and enthusiastic about the work that you do for him. But you know that the work does not earn you salvation. The work does not earn you salvation. You can either accept or reject God's grace. That's up to you. You decide. It's God's unmerited favor. It is God's undeserved benefit. God had no obligation, none, to you. God had no obligation to give you anything. And the fact is, he gave you everything. At least he offered it to you. But you have to accept it. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You either accept it or reject it. There's no third alternative. You either receive Jesus as your personal Savior by faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, or you reject it. And it's up to you. You have the right to choose. God's not a bully. He doesn't push himself on you. He lets you choose. If you've never chosen Jesus, you need to do it now.